Congratulations on that brilliant album. Why did it take you so long? We haven't heard any new material since Mr. Yates. What happened?
I was busy touring. Do you know, it comes round in its own time. It felt like the right time to record. I'd finished a long period of promoting Mr. Yates and touring it, so I'm ready for my new songs to come out.
When you recorded them, you kind of had, I don't know, I mean, I've listened to the album and I thought, it's a complete change now. So we've had the Celtic thing, we had the big Kunst thing, we had the literature thing, and now it's kind of very bluesy and very almost country-like. Where did the idea come from?
Well, it's not a form of music that I haven't made before. I like playing electric rock and roll, and I wanted to make a record in America. And I've been playing with a lot of American musicians recently. I spend a lot of time in America, and I wanted to use American studios, American sound mixers.
Did that, kind of inspire you in any way?
It did, of course. I was very lucky to work with some great American musicians on this record. We've got David Hood on bass guitar. David was one of the Swampers, which was the legendary Muscle Shoals team. He played on records by James Brown, Aretha Franklin. He's a great, and he was a very inspiring guy to work with.
In what way? I mean, just musically or in like personal ways as well?
Well, in both ways. In his self, he's a very quiet, unassuming Southern gentleman, a real pleasure to be around. One of these people that makes you feel good just to be around them. And musically, he's got to be the greatest bass player I've ever worked with. And where he plays it and the spaces he leaves make everyone else sound better.
Although the album sounds very American, the lyrics are very European, I thought. You know, the way you portray, like November Tale. Where did the idea, for example, for November Tale come from?
Somebody sent me an email complaining about something that had happened about 25 years ago. And that gave me the line, "Her communique arrived with its expression of her feelings. I swear I had no idea she'd been holding and concealing such a storm of words unsaid. Absurd as it appears, it had been blowing in her head for 27 years." And then I wrote the rest of the song as a fictional story of two people who run the opposite sides of a religious or spiritual argument, but managed to agree at the end.
On this album, was there a special thing that inspired you, or was it a lot of special, different things?
It's a collection of songs, really. There's not a theme that runs through it. The theme is more musical than lyrical. Just the best of the songs I've written over the last 7 years.
So you've been writing this for 7 years?
Yeah, we made the Mr. Yates record in 2011, and all the time I was preparing that record, I was still writing my own songs.
So when you play live, what is it like? Are we going to expect just the new stuff, or is it going to be the whole thing?
Well, we'll play the whole of the new record, which I'm very excited about, and we'll also play a selection from older Waterboys music, and I'm thrilled that we've got David Hood on bass and the other American musicians who played on the album are going to be touring with us. So we're going to have a lot of fun rearranging some of the old songs.
Does it actually still affect you? I mean, you guys have such a long history. Does the old stuff still affect you? Do you still feel the same when you play the Raggle Taggle Gypsy? Is it still the same?
Yeah. I have my internal relationship with each of the old Waterboys songs, and the ones that I choose to play are all the ones that are still fresh and real to me. So when I sing the Raggle Taggle Gypsy or Fisherman's Blues, they're as alive to me now as the day that I wrote them.
What is it that keeps you going after all these years? What keeps you ticking? What is it?
I think I've always done what the music's told me to do, so I've stayed in touch with the music and the inspiration. I never compromised. I never did what maybe a record label or a manager was telling me to do that was against my better nature. So I never suffered the pain of separation from my inspiration. And so I still love doing it. I still get a kick, and I'm still ambitious. I still want people to hear my music. I'm still competitive. I want to make a record that knocks U2 into next week, or that's better than the new Jack White record.
I read a blog of yours the other day where you went on about the fact that My Sweet Lord and All You Need Is Love or, you know, that era kind of changed popular culture. Do you still want to do that? And do you think there is anyone still doing that, changing popular culture, making an impact?
Music doesn't have the same power today that it had in the late 60s. It was a huge cultural force back then. Now it's more of a leisure industry. People are listening to music while they jog. They're not having their lives changed necessarily. But still, the right song at the right time can affect a great number of people.
Do you think you can achieve that? Or have you? Do you think you have achieved that in a way?
Well, I know a lot of my songs have affected people and moved people because they write and tell me. But I don't think I'm different from a lot of other songwriters in that. I know that they get those letters too.
I've heard in another interview that you did that you said you'd like to keep the kid in you. How do you do that these days? I mean, with wars all over the place and, you know, us hearing people getting killed. And how do you do that?
Well, there's bad stuff happening in the world, but and I care about it and I can get upset about it or angry. But I'm not going to let it change who I am. And I want to keep all the magic that's inside me intact. You know, we're all individual human beings and we all have a whole cosmos of power and magic inside us.
So you think we can change the world if we want to?
Well, I think we can change our own worlds. I'm the author of my own actions. I can't really change the world out there, but I can change the world inside me.
I like the fact that you've always changed your music. A lot of musicians stay with one thing forever, but you've had so many changes that I can't even name them because there's so many.
Yeah.
Which one of them is your best outfit?
It's either the acoustic guitar troubadour or it's the electric guitar rocker, one of those two. Those are my two core identities. Well, I've got all the different Mike Scotts inside me and I can bring them out depending on which song I'm singing.
Whereabouts are you living these days? Is it Dublin or is it...
I'm in Dublin most of the time. I've got a place in New York as well.
If you could ask advice from your favourite musician, who would it be, or would you at all?
I'm not sure I'd ask musicians for advice. I'm just thinking, what would I ask Neil Young or Van Morrison? Well, I love them and I love their music, but I wouldn't ask them for advice. I'd give them some advice, I think. I'd ask the Dalai Lama advice. I think he's wise. I'm not sure. Do you know, there's one musician I do think is a very smart man. That's Leonard Cohen. I admire him greatly.
Where did your love for old, really old literature, Celtic and English literature, come from?
Well, my mum always read to me and gave me books when I was a child. So I was a reader from when I was 6 or 7 years old. I mean, I could read, in fact, when I was 3 or 4 before I went to school. But I was reading books from when I was very young.
I think spirituality means a lot to you. Even on, I mean, the first song on the album, which is a single, is Destinies Entwined.
Yeah.
And do you really believe that all our destinies are entwined?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The American Indians have a saying, we are all related. John Donne, the great metaphysical poet, said, no man is an island. Same thing. Everything that we do affects everyone else.
Is it that what the song is about?
That's part of it, yeah. Well, the guy in the song, by the fifth verse, he's fallen foul of human law because he's in a prison, but he's in harmony with universal law because he's having a profound spiritual experience.
The last song also sounds very bluesy with a load of guitar at the end and loads of, you know, solo guitaring thing. Yeah. Where did the idea to that come from?
That was a lyric that I found in a journal that I'd written. The first verse. When I began writing this record back in 2008, I went through all my old journals looking for phrases or song titles that I might have jotted down. And I found this entire verse. I was longing to be wooed, I was ready to be humbled by the words, etc. And it was intact, it was a whole verse, and I couldn't remember writing it. And I was worried that maybe it was someone else's and I'd just copied it down. So I Googled it, but nothing came up. So I realised, gosh, I must have written it myself and forgotten. And I liked it so much that I wrote the rest of the song. At first I had the full lyric with no tune, and I sent it to a friend of mine in New York, a guy called James Maddock. He's an English singer-songwriter. And he set it to a tune that didn't sound right to me. It was too mellow. So I reclaimed it. I told him, no, thanks, mate, but it's not going to work. And I started to write the music myself. And in fact, by good chance, I was beginning to hear a tune in my head when I read the lyric, and that was the tune that it ended up. However, the nice extra bit of this story is that the mellow tune that didn't work was the tune I used for November Tale. In fact, I wrote November Tale to fit the music.
You know, I'm also like, Rosalind, you've married the wrong guy. Because you say it so, the way you say it so passionately, I believe you. Is that a real experience or is that a story you've heard from someone else?
It's a fictional song, but I've seen situations like that. No, well, I'm from a broken home myself. My parents broke up when I was quite young. So, and I don't believe that people should stay together if they're both having a bad time. I don't think there's any cultural pressure that should keep people together.
What is next? I mean, can we expect you to come back to Germany sometime?
Yes, we're hoping to play in Cologne in February and then to tour in September.
Any chance of seeing you going back to the old Celtic mic again at some point?
It might swing back round there, yeah. It's attractive to me to go back to the west of Ireland maybe and make a strange fairy music record again.
With the guest singers as well? Or?
No, just a small ensemble of Celtic water boys.